The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
The Oscar nominations are just a few days away, and I've got my picks for who I would nominate and who I think will be nominated right now. This episode's brought to you by Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/Dan to stop wasting money on things you don't use, and stay tuned after this video for more info. Hello everybody, I'm Dan Merle, and welcome to one of my favorite videos of the year, where I get to both predict who I think will actually be nominated for the Academy Awards on Tuesday morning, and also who I would nominate if I were the Academy. So what I'll be doing is going over Best Picture, Best Director, and then the acting races, actor and actress, supporting actor, supporting actress, and picking the five people who I would nominate, and then who I think will have their names read on Tuesday morning. And let's start with the Best Supporting Actress race. If I were the Academy, my five nominations would be Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, Rachel McAdams in Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. I thought she was fantastic in that movie. Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers, and Madeline Unavoyles for The Creator. I know, you're sick of hearing me talk about The Creator here on the show. This is probably the last time that I'll do it, but I thought that she was so great in the movie. And even if the movie had been a multi-Oscar nominated movie, I still don't think she'd be nominated because young performances often are not nominated for Academy Awards, but she makes my top five. As far as who I think will be nominated on Tuesday morning, there's a lot of overlap. I do believe that Emily Blunt will be nominated, as well as Divine Joy Randolph, who is the easy front runner for winning the Oscar, and Danielle Brooks also, I think, will be in the final five. I'm also putting in Jodie Foster for Naiad. It seems like there's a lot of momentum for her. And then this was actually a late flip out because I had originally put America Ferrera there as Barbie. I'm actually kind of going against the grain for any of my picks in this fifth spot. But instead of putting America Ferrera there, I am believing the word that's buzzing around that there could be a late Saltburn surge. And I'm picking Rosamund Pike as the person I think will get that fifth spot. Neither America Ferrera nor Rosamund Pike are the smart bets. Julianne Moore in May-December is buzzed about there in that spot. Penelope Cruz in Ferrari, even though that movie hasn't really been big anywhere else in the award circuit. And Taraji P. Henson in The Color Purple, all quote-unquote smarter bets for that fifth slot. But it's not fun if you just go and look at the top five that everybody thinks will do it. So I'm going to go out and say that Rosamund Pike gets a surprise nomination for Best Supporting Actress. Let's turn now to the Best Supporting Actor race, and if I were the Academy, the five nominees would be Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, Milo Machado Grenet for Anatomy of a Fall. Another performance that's great, not just for a young actor, but for any actor. And if I could pick one thing that would happen on Oscar morning that would absolutely delight me, it would be to see this young actor get nominated. He is fantastic in Anatomy of a Fall and should be considered with all of his other peers in the Best Supporting Actor race, but he's not really on anyone's radar. Well, he's on mine, and I would nominate him if I were the Academy. In that fourth spot, I would nominate Charles Melton for May-December. And then rounding things out, Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things, maybe my favorite performance in any movie of 2023. As far as who I think will be nominated, there's some doubt that anybody from Poor Things, either Mark Ruffalo or Willem Dafoe will get nominated in the Best Supporting Actor race, but I'm going to say that Mark Ruffalo will be nominated alongside Ryan Gosling and Robert Downey Jr. for my personal picks. Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, I think, will be nominated for Best Supporting Actor. And this is another one that's not exactly in a lot of the experts' top five, but it seemed like the SAG Awards were big fans of American Fiction. They are a big part of the Academy. So I'm going to say that Sterling K. Brown takes the fifth slot on the Best Supporting Actor nominations. Now, as far as names to look out for, Willem Dafoe for Poor Things, perhaps the smarter money choice to be nominated in that category. Colman Domingo in The Color Purple. If there's big support for The Color Purple, then you could see him sneak in there. And then Charles Melton for May, December, one of my favorite performances of the year. I would be delighted if he actually did get nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Looking now at the race for Best Actress, my personal selections, if I were the Academy, would be Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, Greta Lee for Past Lives, Carey Mulligan for Maestro, and Margot Robbie for Barbie. And this was actually such a difficult category because for all of these categories, every single one that we're talking about here on the show, I basically would make a list and then narrow it down to like, who are my must-haves, my own personal must-haves in the category. And for Best Actress, I had six. The five that I just told you about, and then Emma Stone in Poor Things. You may have noticed that she's not on my list. I could not figure out, of the six must-haves that I had for Best Actress for my own personal choices, which one to eliminate. So I basically eliminated Emma Stone, who was the only one of my six favorites that had already won an Oscar, and put in five actresses that had never won the Academy Award for Best Actress. Is that scientific? No, but you know, the Academy's not exactly scientific either. As far as who I think will be nominated for the Oscar, I believe that Lily Gladstone will be nominated. I'd be shocked if she wasn't. Carey Mulligan in Maestro, Margot Robbie in Barbie, and Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall. Those four overlap with my personal choices. And then I do believe that Emma Stone will be nominated. It's sort of turning into a two-person race right now between Emma Stone and Lily Gladstone. As far as names to look out for, Greta Lee in Past Lives, Fantasia Barrino in The Color Purple, Natalie Portman in May, December, a bit of a longer shot there. And then Annette Bening in Naiad, I think that maybe could be a smarter money choice. Right now, I think Sandra Hüller is perhaps the biggest long shot of all of the actresses that I've talked about. But again, there is buzz that Anatomy of a Fall has been playing really well with the Academy. That pushed Hüller up into my personal picks for Best Actress. It seemed like Lily Gladstone had all the momentum. Maybe it's swinging a little bit towards Emma Stone. We don't really know. Remember last year, for the whole beginning of awards season, Cate Blanchett in Tar had all of the momentum, and then before the Oscars, it started swinging over to Michelle Yeoh, who eventually took home the Academy Award. So just because so-and-so has won this award or won that award or has X many nominations, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win the Oscar. These races are still all very fluid.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let's turn out of the Best Actor race, and my first personal pick is a bit of an outside shot. I was actually somebody that I discussed here on the channel with Sean Chandler, who was kind enough to come onto my news show. That video came out yesterday, and this was actually his pick. If he could wave a magic wand and have one person nominated for the Oscar, his first pick was my actual also first pick if I nominated for the Oscars, and that is Zac Efron for The Iron Claw. I really enjoyed that movie. I didn't do a standalone review. Part of it is because it came out very late in the process for watching screeners as I was trying to get everything out and watch as much as I could. I think that Zac Efron is on a level with a lot of the other more frequent nominees this award season. So you know what? I'm making him a Best Actor nominee because in this exercise, I'm the Academy. Also in my personal list are Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, Andrew Scott for All of Us Strangers, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. So a lot of chalk, I guess you could say there, for my personal picks. As far as who I believe will be nominated for the Academy Award, Cillian Murphy, who I believe is the front runner alongside Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers. Both of them, of course, I think will be nominated. Jeffrey Wright, I believe, will be nominated for American Fiction. And then the other two slots that are not in common with mine are Bradley Cooper for Maestro. I thought he was really good. It's just, as I said, a very deep category. And then Colman Domingo for Rustin. Ditto there. Very good in that film. As far as names to watch, Leonardo DiCaprio for Killers of the Flower Moon. You can never count him out of the Oscar race. As well as Andrew Scott for All of Us Strangers. Still a bit of a dark horse contender. And then Barry Keoghan for Saltburn. Again, there's buzz that perhaps Saltburn might be playing well with the Academy, so we couldn't count out, or I'm not going to count out, the fact that Barry Keoghan could come out of nowhere and perhaps snag a Best Actor nomination. Moving on now to the Best Director race, and if I were the Academy, my five picks would be Greta Gerwig for Barbie. It was not one of my favorite films of the year. I liked it, but didn't love it. But I thought that Greta Gerwig did such a great job nailing the tone of that movie, pulling together the technical aspects, the performance aspects, aka what a good director does. So she's in my top five. Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest would also be on my top list, as well as Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, and Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall. The names that I believe will be nominated come Oscar nomination morning. I'm still putting Greta Gerwig for Barbie on my list. There have been some very big questions about whether or not she will actually secure the nomination. I still think that she will, so I've got her on my list, alongside Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, who has emerged as the frontrunner, Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and then I'm going to guess that the Academy still goes with Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon. However, Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest, many people have as their nominee for Best Director. Alexander Payne for The Holdovers could very easily find his way into the list. Bradley Cooper for Maestro is a contender, as well as Celine Song for Past Lives. And the interesting thing about the Best Director race this year is I think that Christopher Nolan is definitely locked in for a nomination, but I think that the other four slots are largely up for grabs. There are even directors like Yorgos Lanthimos that I wouldn't say I have like absolute confidence that they are going to secure that nomination. So while Nolan, I think, is the big front runner, the other four nominees for Best Director, I think it's anyone's guess. Finally now, let's move to the race for Best Picture. Now, I do it old school. I do it as five nominees just to kind of make it fun and a little bit more challenging for myself. So we're going back to the way things were in the 20th century with the Academy Awards. My five nominations for Best Picture would be Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. I don't think those necessarily translate to the top five on my year-end list, but looking at just all of my different options, those were the five that I think best represented the capabilities of film in 2023, and I think they're all great movies. As far as the movies that I think will be nominated for the Academy Award for Best Picture, there are really only a couple of slots that I think are up for grabs. Obviously, Oppenheimer, The Holdovers, Anatomy of a Fall, and Poor Things from my personal list, I think will carry over. The Color Purple is one that many people have out of the Best Picture race, but I just think that perhaps the Actors Branch will push The Color Purple to a Best Picture nomination. Killers of the Flower Moon, American Fiction, Maestro, Past Lives, and Barbie are my picks to round out who I think will get nominated for Best Picture. However, many people have The Zone of Interest as a Best Picture pick. And then Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I still think there's an outside chance that the Academy decides to nominate an animated film, and if they do, I think it's going to be Across the Spider-Verse. And those are my choices for who I would pick for the Oscars and who I think will get picked. And looking at the runtime and even how long I've been recording and how long my past videos have been, this one seems a little bit shorter than videos in years past. And I think it's because, and I've said this all awards season, I think that it is an incredibly rich group of nominees, but it's not quite as dense as it usually is. I think it's a narrower number of names and movies than we often see. And so I think that the number of potential surprises is cut down a little bit, but I also think it makes the competition that much more fierce. Best Supporting Actress is the only race that I would say is a runaway right now for Divine Joy Randolph. I think that Robert Downey Jr. has emerged as a strong favorite for the Best Supporting Actor award. I think that Best Actress right now appears to be a two-person race between Emma Stone and Lily Gladstone, although Sandra Hüller I have a feeling about. For the Best Actor race, I think it has emerged into a two-person race with Cillian Murphy being, I think, still the front runner, but Paul Giamatti Giamatti definitely can't be counted out, and he has been on a bit of a hot streak lately. And then Best Picture. I think that Oppenheimer is the favorite, but I want to see what the final nominees are before I really decide who I think will definitely win Best Picture. But it is a very interesting year for the Oscars. There are fewer wild cards as far as nominations, but I think there are more wild cards as far as wins. What do you think? What would your picks for the Academy Awards be? Who do you think will be nominated? Let me know down in the comments below. And before we go, I want to thank the sponsor for this video, Rocket Money. If you keep up with the channel, then you know that last year I wasn't keeping track of my money like I should have, but I've learned from that mistake, and this year I'm changing all of that, and that includes using Rocket Money. And think about what you spend every month. With all of these different streaming services and bills, do you really even know how much you're spending? I did a full breakdown of my finances with Rocket Money and found out that I was still paying for services that I didn't want that cost me over $250 a year, and that's real money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. All you have to do is fire up Rocket Money, and you have a complete breakdown of where your money's going and how you can better manage it. And if you find a subscription or service that you don't want anymore, all you have to do is tap, and Rocket Money will take care of the rest. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Dan. That's rocketmoney.com/Dan. rocketmoney.com/Dan. Thanks to Rocket Money for sponsoring this video, and thank you for watching. Stay tuned right here on the channel for box office news, movie reviews. I will have a full recap of the Academy Award nominations shortly after they are announced on Tuesday morning, as well as continued analysis of the Oscar race as we get up to the big day in a few short weeks, and of course, everything else that we do here on the channel. Thank you so much for spending part of your day right here with me. Until next time, stay safe, and I'll see you then. Bye.